there's some things I'm thankful for about being a little older. Okay? I'm no longer a slave to my hair. You with me? Okay? I'm no longer a slave to my clothes. I remember my grandpa when I was growing up, and you may remember this too if you're a little older. It's not so much anymore, I don't think. But he used to wear those polyester pants all the time, right? Polyester pants, and he'd have, like, you know, they didn't have Velcro, but he would wear slippers, you know. And I used to wonder, gosh, why is Grandpa always wearing them polyester pants, you know? And I remember he told me once, he said, because they're comfortable. Makes sense, doesn't it, right? I see the teenagers in our youth group, they're just willing to be miserable as long as they look good, right? They're just a slave to their self-esteem. Right, they got to have the certain thing, and what? There's a kid that plays basketball every Saturday when I watch, and he can't stop fiddling with himself. He's constantly moving his shirt, constantly pulling his shorts, and this is all why he's playing basketball. This isn't on the sidelines, right? Because he's got to have everything just right. If he doesn't look good doing what he's doing, right? And I think, gosh, man, our world is like that. You adults laugh, but you all have your little ticks too. All of our little tiny slaveries that we have, and so. This morning, as we look at Acts chapter 16, we continue in Acts chapter 16. We're looking at this idea of slavery, right? And not so much about slavery to fashion, but slavery to this world, the god of this world, which becomes vastly more important to us than any kind of fashion or money or business or whatever you might think of as slavery in this world. And so we're going to look at chapter 16. We're only going to look at three verses, verses 16 through 18 this morning. We started off with Lydia last week. We're going to move beyond that. Verse 16, 17, and 18, I'm going to read these, and then we're going to pray. We're going to see what God has to say to us this morning. Hopefully, I can rearrange whatever was in my head and get it back to where I think we should be this morning. Hopefully, God works through this. Verse 16, it says, It happened that as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit for fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed, and he turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out of her that very moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. There's a lot to say here, Lord. And we've been discussing this for the last 3 or 4 days about what should be said, what should be left out, what is pertinent for us, Father God, what is edifying, what is building up, also what is admonishing and exhorting and warning. And so all of those things are in here this morning, Lord. So I'm just earnestly and honestly praying and pleading this morning that you would be my words, that we would speak boldly, but we would also speak with compassion, that we would also speak with sensitivity in these things, Father God, that we would learn to know you, that we would learn to love you, that for those of you that don't have you as a Lord and Savior would see the necessity of these things, and those of us who rely on you, who depend on you, would have a better understanding of the things that you do for us. And so, Lord, this morning we come before your throne, the throne of mercy and grace, with confidence, Lord, that we can petition you in time of trouble, that we can rely on the Holy Spirit to convey the Word of God to us, to convey the truth to us, that we can rely on the Holy Spirit to open our hearts, just as you did with Lydia's. And so we love you this morning, Jesus. We thank you that you are willing to bring us the truth, that you would not leave us to perish in our own slavery. And so I pray all these things will be honoring and glorifying to you this morning, Lord Jesus. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. So what's the layout here, right? Let's get a little bit of background again. Remember, we just met Lydia last week, and she's a fairly industrious woman, right? She's a seller of purple fabric. She has her own outlet store in Philippi. We saw that last week. As we studied last week, right, there was no doubt in our minds that God had divinely, remember we talked about those divine appointments, that God had divinely brought Lydia and Paul together in Philippi so that Lydia, right, could hear the gospel of Christ. She knew God. She knew of God. She was a God seeker. Remember, she was a God fearer, but she had no saving faith in Christ. And so Paul comes to Philippi. He meets with Lydia. In fact, in verse 13, it says, "And on the Sabbath day, we," Luke says, remember, there's four of them now. You got Paul, Silas, you got Luke, and you got Timothy, right? He says, "And we began speaking to the women who had assembled." That's on the riverside there. In verse 14, he says, "And a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart," right, "to hear the things of Paul." And so what a tremendous thought for us, because as I said last week, this chapter 16 is about God opening doors. Remember, he opened the door for the ministry of Timothy to join Paul, as we saw in the first six verses. He opened the door to Europe or Macedonia, right, so that all of Europe would hear the gospel eventually through Lydia. And then last week we saw that he opened the door to Lydia's heart, that he opened her heart to be able to hear the things of God, to be able to understand the gospel of Christ, to be able to believe. And so what a tremendous thought for us, right? Now, I didn't touch on this last week much, but I have to address it today because I've been thinking about it all week. We might be tempted to think, because Lydia was a worshiper of God, right? She was a God-fearer. She was a proselyte Gentile woman who had kind of adhered with the Jewish religion. We might be tempted to think, because she was praying and because she was a God-fearer, that she had some kind of inward path to God, right? She had some kind of inside track to salvation. But the truth of it is that Lydia, through her religion, right? This is what we're going to see today. Lydia, through her religion, was no closer to salvation than the slave girl that we're getting ready to study, right? They were both slaves. She was a slave to her religion. The slave girl was a slave to this demon spirit that she has, right? In fact, right, prior to hearing and believing the gospel of Christ, we find out that Lydia had more in common with this demonized woman, right, than she did with salvation, than she did with Christ. This is the notion that the world, right, has, right? True saving faith in Christ is not a religion, right? It's a personal relationship with the Lord and Savior of salvation. We are saved by faith alone, not by religion, not by religious works or anything else, right? Going to church doesn't save you, okay? Has nothing to do with salvation, right? Going to Bible studies doesn't save you. Rituals, traditions, and ceremonies don't save you. Okay? It is only by faith in the blood of Christ and his atoning work on the cross in which you can be saved. Remember back in Acts chapter 4, when Peter was admonishing the Jewish religious leaders, right? He told them, right, that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There is only one name. Okay? And so Lydia, prior to her salvation, is really just as much a slave as this slave girl is to the demon that's possessing her. Okay? There is no different in the kingdom of God. There is no distinction that God makes in those things. There's no true liberty, there's no true freedom, right, from slavery of sin and death apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth of the gospel. Okay? And the reason I bring this up, right, is because there's a notion in our world, right? You hear this all the time. There's a notion in our world, and there's even a tinge of it in us, that a little bit of religion is better than no religion at all. Okay? But the problem is that's false, right? Slavery is slavery regardless of what form it takes. I was just talking about this guy and his hair, right? That's no different than somebody who is adhering to some religious experience for to garner favor with God. There's no difference, right? There's no neutral ground with God. The Bible makes it clear that you are either in Christ, right? You are either in Christ or you're in this evil world system, right? That you either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. That's just flat out what the Bible says. Okay? There's no in between. There's no middle ground. There's no I haven't made a decision yet. There's no I'm waiting to see what Jesus does. You're either in Christ or you are in the world. You are either a child of God or you are a child of Satan, right? Here's what John says in 5:19. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Okay? By this, John says in 1 John 3:10, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. Simple. Okay? It's very distinct. The Bible is not ambiguous. God is not vague about what he says. Okay? In other words, everyone who does not receive the righteousness of Christ is not a child of God. Right? That's what he's talking about in that verse. Of course, none of us are righteous, but that's not the point. Okay, none of us are perfectly righteous, right? But that's not the point. The point is, it is about acknowledging, right? It is about acknowledging that your own unrighteousness is not sufficient enough, that you have to have another righteousness, and that righteousness comes from Christ alone. Okay, that's the way of salvation. Remember, Jesus is admonished, when he admonished the Jewish leaders, remember? They had trusted in their own righteousness. These guys were like the most religious dudes on the planet. Remember, Jesus said their religion exceeded everyone else. It was a standard that could only be set by them. They were highly religious, but they trusted in their own righteousness. Remember, they said, our father is Abraham, and we've been doing the church thing, man. Look what Jesus says to him here. This is just great, unless you're a Pharisee. John 8:44, right? You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. They said, we follow God, we follow Abraham, and Jesus said, your father is the devil. There is no life, there is no freedom from slavery apart from Christ. Remember, Satan loves religion. He does. He'll let you be in all the religion you want. As long as you don't know the saving power of Jesus Christ and the blood of his atonement, he wants you to be the most religious person on the planet. Because it's just as much slavery as anything else in this world. Whether it's your hair, money, occupation, whatever it is in this world that you're a slave to, right? Addictions, whatever. Doesn't make any difference. It's all slavery. Okay? And that's kind of the point where this story's going, right? I mean, the point is that whether you're in a religious system like Lydia was, or you're owned by a group of businessmen like this slave girl was, right? You're still under the power of the evil one. There's no difference. There is no true freedom, like I said, apart from the salvation of Christ, right? And so this is really what our passage about. This is about. This is really a tale of two women. This is a contrast between two women. It's a contrast between true freedom, right, and perceived freedom. It's a contrast between the slave woman and the free woman. It's a contrast between true salvation and just freedom from whatever slavery you're in right now. Okay? Jesus said, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I love that verse. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. See the if there? The if. Jesus is saying, you know what? If the Son makes you free, you are truly free. What he's saying is, right? What he's conveying is that there'll be people in the world that actually believe they're free, but not because of the Son. Are you with me? It is only the Son of God that can truly give you liberty, truly give you freedom. And we see it. People think they're free, right? I got enough money. I'm free. I got all the liberty I want, right? I get to do whatever I want. I get to be whatever I want. I get to have cactus hair, right? There's no true liberty in this world, right? There's no true liberty apart from Christ. That's the whole point. That's the the contrast here, right? Both women were slaves. Both women were set free. But only one experienced true freedom. Only one experienced true liberty. The other one is just waiting around for the next slavery. Okay? And we see, I mean, this is so real. When Scripture speaks, I mean, you just go, wow, that is the world. Okay? Just hopping from one slavery to the next. Okay? I got free of alcohol and drugs. I see it all the time. And now I'm dedicated to what? Exercise and doing good and saving the planet or my occupation or I'm wrapped up in this or I'm wrapped up in that. It's just all hopping from one slavery to another. Or worse yet, we hop into some kind of religion, right? Some kind of religion. If we do this long enough and hard enough and honest and you know, we'll be free. Now, we looked at Lydia's life last week, right? And by all accounts, this woman fit the world definition of liberated. Boy, she would be celebrated in our society, right? She was a seller of purple fabrics, right? She had her own business. She was the CEO. She was the boss. She probably had employees. I'm just guessing, right? She had it all going on, right? She was a religious person, right? She would gather with all the other women and they would pray by the river, right? And they were fairly, it appears by the text, they were fairly religious about doing it, you know. And she was apparently the head of her own household. Remember verse 40 last week, it says that all of the people met in the house of Lydia, right? This was Lydia's house. The indication is she had no husband. She was the head of her household. She had it all going on. Okay? In other words. But you see, the truth is, despite of all of Lydia's achievements, right, in this world, she was still separated from the love of Christ. She knew of God, but she had no saving faith in Christ. We saw that last week. We looked at the text, right? She was still separated from God because of her sin. She was still condemned apart from the Savior, right? She was still a slave to the God of this world. We don't like that word. We don't like the word slavery. When I talk to people about slavery, right? People that don't know Jesus, man, they get offended right off. I'm not a slave. I'm my own person. I decide what I want to do. Okay, we'll go rob banks then and see what happens, right? Jump off a 10-story building. You got laws, right? You're not free to do whatever you want to do. You got either the law of the land or you got the law of gravity, but both of them, right, get you in trouble. Second Corinthians 4:4, Paul says, the God of this world, right, that's Satan, that's the devil, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so they might not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's what he does. That's all he does. He keeps people enslaved to something so that they will not see the glory of the gospel of Christ. They will not be truly liberated. I was speaking to some women a while back, and this isn't, I'm not trying to be a chauvinist here or anything like that, but they were so against being a mom and taking care of their kids and, you know, I'm out there and I'm in the business world. I run my own thing and I don't have to do that and I can be this and I can be that, you know. You hear it all the time. Their kids are being babysitted, right, by a TV. 10 hours a day. But they're liberated, they're free, okay? But they're not really. They're just slaves to something else, right? God isn't against you being a CEO of your own company, ladies. Gosh, he promotes it. He loves it. Read Proverbs 31, that gets rid of all that nonsense. She was doing everything. But until you truly, right, are doing what God designed you to do, which is be a child of God, right, there is no real freedom. There's just this perception of freedom. And that's what Satan wants. He wants to keep you blinded. He doesn't want you to see the truth of the gospel. It wasn't until Paul came along, really, with the gospel of Christ for Lydia, that she truly understood what freedom was. She truly grasped what freedom was. And you'll notice in the text, God doesn't say, hey, go home. Right? Go home and take care of your kids. He doesn't say that. He didn't tell her she has to stop selling purple fabrics. Right? She knew already. She wanted to share with everyone in Christ. She opened up her home, right, to the church. She wanted to be dedicated and follow God, right? I mean, you can be the CEO of your own company. You can have all the accolades in the world. But until you become the person that God designed you to be, right? Until you bear the full image of God, which Satan is trying to keep you from being, right? All these things are just various forms of slavery. That's really what it comes down to. All the achievements in the world are pointless apart from eternity with Christ, right? You can't take all that stuff with you. Job said, I was born without anything, and I'm going to go home without anything. Okay? All that stuff's going to be burned up. And don't kid yourself. Nobody will remember you. Okay? No. You know, they remember you for a while, but truth of it is people move on. I watch funerals. I see 300 people in here, and they're all crying and bawling and sad, and they're going to remember forever, and we give all the testimonies, and before they hit that back door, they already have their phones out checking their Facebook and their email and their Twitters and their... That's how important you are in reality. But Christ says, you know what? You're important to Him for eternity, right? As we saw last week, Lydia believed the message of the gospel, and for the first time, she understood what true liberty was, right? She began to understand what her true purpose in life was, and that was to be a child of God, to be reborn in the image of God. To understand that she was a child of God. To understand that her eternity started from that day, that there was no more death and shame and sin for her. She knew what true liberty was. In verse 15 it says, and when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. She wasn't going to let it go. She understood what true freedom was. Now contrast this with the slave girl, right? The slave girl also experienced freedom. She did. Right? But was she truly free indeed? That's the question. Was she truly free indeed, right? Look at verse 16. And it happened, it says, that as they were going to a place of prayer, remember this was where they kept meeting over and over and over and over, and this was another time other than the one that Lydia was at. This is later on, right? It happened that as they were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having literally possessed by, the word is echo, she was literally possessed by a spirit, it says, of divination, and she met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling, right? This girl was not only a slave to men, but she was also a slave to this particular demon, literally this demon of Python is what it's called, okay? The demon of Python, that's what the word means. The word is Puthon, but it's like a supernatural power, right? It's the spirit of Python. Apparently, according to Greek mythology, right, Python was this serpent that guarded this particular castle, and Apollos came and killed him, and then he assumed the Python's power to tell the future, and so now everybody who tells the future has this spirit of Python. At least this was true for their particular society, right? The word Python came to men, a demon-possessed person through whom Python spoke. Actually, that word Python apparently is where we get our word ventriloquist from. Pretty telling, isn't it? Well, guess who was speaking through this girl? Right? If it is not of God, it is of who? Right? The whole world lies in that. We got to get this in our head. It's not so bad, Pastor Sean. What's wrong with that? That's what I get all the time. What's wrong with that? If it's not of God, it is, right? Everyone who is not subject to Christ is subject to the God of this world. Everything that is not of God is from Satan, right? There's no neutral ground. I had a lady a few years ago came to me, and she said, well, you know what, I've been doing yoga, and I want to know if it's okay for me to do yoga, right? This comes up all the time. It's just exercise. It's harmless. And I said, well, you know, you can do yoga if you want to, I guess. But you need to understand that it is a religion. It has a system of beliefs. It even has its own Bible, and it has its own gods. Okay? And she's like, well, I just do the exercise. I don't do any of the religious stuff. If it is not of God, right? If it is not, I'm thinking to myself, wow. I mean, maybe that's the wrong question. I'm just burning incense to Buddha. That's all I'm doing. It's innocent. Right? It is not of God. Maybe the right question is, does this increase my holiness? Does this draw me closer to Christ? Right? Maybe those are the questions we should ask. Does this thing I want to do bring glory to Christ? Everything that is not of God can only have its source from one other place, right? And Satan is so subtle about these things. This is the thing that kills me. I remember saying once, and I believe it with all my heart, if I only got to preach one sermon, right? God said, you can only have one more sermon. That's it. One more sermon, and you have to speak about one particular subject, and then you'll never be able to preach again. I always say that I would preach on the fact that Satan only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? I wouldn't talk about Christ and the cross because people kind of get that, but they don't get that Satan only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's very subtle about it. He doesn't come to your front door and go, hey, let's go do some false religion today, right? That's not how he works. He doesn't pave the road to hell with a sign that says, this is the road to hell. He gives a sign that says what? This is the road to heaven. That's how he does it. And so he sucks us into this stuff. It's just an exercise, right? He disguises it. It's just an exercise. It's something pleasing and it's beneficial and it's harmless, right? 1 Corinthians 11:14 says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. How he gets in the door, man. It's just an exercise. It'll make you feel better. Now, personally, I got to tell you, yoga doesn't look appealing to me at all. Okay? To have my ankle behind my ear is not my desire. That might be for some people, right? If you're going to tempt me saying that, it won't be with yoga. Okay? It might be with pizza, but it won't be with yoga. Remember, his goal is to keep the world from seeing the light of the gospel, right? So he gives us just enough world religion, right, to keep us happy without ever revealing the truth. Without ever revealing the truth. Look at our passage, verse 17. And she was following Peter and us, Luke says. And she kept crying out, saying, these men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation, right? And she continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed. I think the word there is really aggrieved. You might have that translation. He was greatly grieved. I think Paul was grieved. He was grieved that she was caught up and didn't know the difference, right? And he turned to the Spirit and said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her that very moment. Now, I love this because this is a great testimony. Lydia was saved by the gospel of Christ. Okay? This girl here is freed from this demon serpent by Jesus Christ. Okay? Lydia has eternity with Christ because she did what? She responded to that call. The slave girl, on the other hand, we don't know her disposition. I'm assuming she never knew the love of Christ, never knew salvation, never knew eternity because the Bible doesn't tell us. She responded, right? And you say, well, why would Paul stop her from speaking? Wasn't she telling the truth? I mean, look at the verse, right? These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. That's what she was running around behind Paul saying. Harmless, right? What's so bad about that? Well, for one, right, Satan does speak the truth. He knows the Word of God. But he always mixes a little untruth in with it, right? Look at the words there, the Most High God. That's a generic term. Okay? That was acceptable to everybody. It's like when people in our world go, oh, I believe in a higher power. See, nobody objects to that. Yeah, higher power. You know, the guy that owns Macy's. Right? It can be anything to anybody. It can be whatever higher power you want it to be. That's what this demon spirit was saying. These are servants of the Most High God, right? They're servants of a higher power. Right? Remember, if Christ isn't in it, there's no salvation. The demon isn't saying these are the servants of the Most High Jesus Christ, right? They're saying the Most High God. That just kind of fits everybody's like, yeah, that sounds good to me. Okay? That's their yoga. Well, it's kind of harmless. Remember, if Jesus is in it, if there's no Christ in it, right? I mean, think about it this way, right? I mean, there's a danger here. This is what Satan wants. Remember, I told you, he gives you just enough religion to keep you from being saved. Because think about the people, right? They know she has the spirit of Python. It's very popular, right? Everybody's for it. It's just like in our society, man. You can't turn the TV channel without running into somebody that'll tell your fortune, right? It's all over the place. And so she's a spirit of Python. The whole world knows she's a spirit of Python, right? And she's running around after Paul, who believes in Jesus Christ, speaking these things out loud, right? So what are people going to associate with Christ? Right? This demon spirit. They're going to, oh, wait, Jesus must love that stuff too because he's not saying anything, right? Bad witness. Same thing for us. I tell people, you know what? You can do yoga exercises if you want to. That's fine. But I want you to think about something. Those people that truly are into yoga, that is their religion. And believe me, all you have to do is watch them for 5 seconds. You'll get it. They got the perfect little mats and they got the yoga bottle and they got the yoga toothbrush and all the other stuff that goes with that. If they understand all that stuff, and you being a free child of Christ come in and partake of it, what are they going to think about Christ? That there's more than one way, isn't there? There's salvation in the Most High Yoga, and there's salvation in Christ. Everybody's going to go home and throw their little mats away, aren't they? Pastor Sean, you've got to hide this. Put it in the garbage. Don't let anybody see it. It's not the point. The point is we need to think about, right? We get this thing in our mind, right? Yeah, it may not be of Jesus, but I don't really consider it slavery either. Right? We have to start thinking about those things. People ask me all the time, is this stuff for real? Fortune telling. Ghost. Yeah, they're for real. They're absolutely for real. There's no doubt about it. There's a lady on TV, I don't know if you've seen the ads, I've never actually watched the show, but they show enough in the advertisement, this makes me sick, man. Because this woman is running around causing people to be in slavery. Right? Oh, I'll talk to your dead husband or your dead son or your dead whatever relatives, and then she tells them things like, oh, he loves you very much and he's still thinking about you, and these people are bawling and they're, you know, what is she doing, right? She is increasing their slavery, because what are they going to do? They're not going to come to Christ. They're not going to come to true salvation. They're going to hang on to this spirit of divinity. This is what I got to hang on to this, right? But it's not their dead relatives that are speaking, right? The Bible makes it clear. Once you die, we saw that this morning, you're what? You're dead. And there's only two destinations. There's only judgment, right? And nobody comes back and talks to anybody from the grave. There's no spirits running around the world that haven't gone home yet, okay? It's all a myth. But Satan loves to use that stuff. Why does he do the Bigfoot thing? And why does he do the ghost thing? And why? Because you know what happens? People hang on to that stuff and they never find true freedom. That's what she does. That's what she does for a living. She has the spirit of Python, man. And it is for real, for real, for real, for real. But everything that is not of God is from the God of this world. She's a puppet, right, of the ventriloquist. He wants the world to stay in slavery. He wants the world to stay in bondage to sin, man. He loves it. He'll keep moving people from slavery to slavery to slavery to slavery to slavery. I see it all the time. Pastor Sean, I got clean of alcohol and drugs, and now I'm, and man, it never fails. They're just into some other form of slavery. Because they don't want to go back to that slavery. But that's what he does. Keep you from the power of Christ, right? Look at the slave girl, right? Even though she was freed from the spirit of divination, it makes no mention of her salvation. We can only assume that she was just prepared for another form of slavery wherever she ended up going, whatever she ended up doing. I mean, the Bible doesn't say it's silent. I'm not going to speak for it, but I'm just saying. Okay? This is what the God of this world does, right? He'll actually get you out of one slavery just to get you into another. He'll take you out of drugs and alcohol. He will. He'll even, I mean, we'll see this in a couple of weeks in 17, he'll even take his own possession out of you to make it look like you're good. Okay? But it's just a ruse. It's just to get you to the next thing. Okay? Self-sufficiency. That's usually what happens, right? Drugs and alcohol, I don't want to do that anymore, so now it's self-sufficient, right? I am whatever, hear me roar. You'll never seek the true freedom of the gospel, right? You'll never see the light of the glory of Christ. You'll only be subject to the next thing that comes along. In fact, let's close with this. Let's go to Matthew. I wrote this down this morning when I thought, well, maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't. Look at Matthew chapter 12. I want you to read this now, okay? I want you to pay attention to this. You can't know anything. You can't learn anything. The Spirit of God doesn't open your heart to see the truth if you don't read it. It's the Word of God that transforms a heart, not Pastor Sean. Chapter 12, verse 43, I think, is where it starts. This is what Jesus said, okay? Now, I'm not saying that everyone who is not in Christ is possessed by a demon, okay? Don't get me wrong. That does happen, not to Christians, but just people in the world. But the truth is apart from Christ, you are under the power of the God of this world. You are under the influence of Satan. You're just subject to the world system. Matthew 12, 43. You with me? It says, now, this is Jesus speaking, now when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and does not find it. Right? It goes out and it's looking for something else to enslave. Then it says, you know what? I'll return to the house from which I came. Right? And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. In other words, right, you get rid of this one thing and the house is clean. It's all spotless. There's nothing in there anymore, right? But if you don't replace it with Christ, it just stays empty. You know, that's when you see all these Eastern religions, right? What do they tell you to do? Empty your mind, right? Cross your legs and empty your mind and then hum. I don't know. God says, never, ever, ever, ever empty your mind. You fill it with the Word of God. You fill it with the Word. You never leave that space empty. Okay, and I got a lot of empty space, so I got to fill it up. He says, right, the demon says, I'll return to the house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. And then it goes in and takes along with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and they live there. And the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. That is the way it will be also for this evil generation. See it? Just trading one. Satan will get you out of that stuff or whatever you're into, man. As long as you don't go to Christ, he'll get you into something else. Sean, I go to church 7 days a week. That's what I hear. Dudes all the time, man. I don't do that anymore. I'm like in every Bible study that ever happens in this town. But do you know the Savior? Because if you don't, you're just in another form of slavery. Okay? Christ is the only thing that's going to truly set you free. Apart from the true saving power of Christ, there can be no freedom from slavery. Jesus said, so if the Son sets you free, you are truly free indeed. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Just looking at your words, I tell you right now, Lord, I am just ecstatic that you snatched me out of everything that I was in, Father God, and set me free. It's just a tremendous thought. And I've been free ever since, and I realize it. I know it. There's never a time when I don't think I'm not, Father God. And then you continue each and every day in my life to keep me free, to keep me from going back into another slavery, Lord. And what a tremendous thought that is. And so we do pray honestly and earnestly for every believer here, Father God, that you would continue to guard our hearts and our minds, that you would continue to keep us free from being slaves to things, that we are preoccupied, as we saw this morning, with being slaves of Christ, to being in the company of Jesus. And so, Lord, there's people here today that don't know you. There's people here today that have no relationship with you. And they aren't heroin addicts and they aren't alcoholics. They're good people and they have hardworking jobs and they're making money, Father God, and they're living their lives and they're respectable and they're honorable and they love their children and they love their husbands, but they don't know Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts just as you did Lydia, that you would open it up, that they would be free, that they would be free indeed. That they would love the truth, Father God. And they would see the glory of Christ, and they would become the image of God. We love you, Lord Jesus, today. We thank you for all these truths. We pray this in your name. Amen.